Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord loves us. Understand, he knows who you are. He knows you by name. He knows where you're going. He knows where you're headed. But if he can get your attention, if he can get you to trust his word, if he can get you to follow Jesus Christ and honor him, and not the world, and receive him as your Savior, and receive him as your Lord, he can alter your course into a life of great abundance. First of all, you'll get to live forever in his kingdom. And if you take it up, if you receive his word, you can learn how his kingdom works and you can operate it. You don't just get saved. Salvation is not just a life insurance policy. It's not just a right to live forever. It's you get the whole kingdom with it. And you can go boldly to the throne of God and talk to him and petition him and worship him. And you'll have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We have to have a Savior. And the Savior has to be the seed of woman, Jesus Christ. He's the Word of God, and he became flesh. He's the first born of God. He's God that was born of a woman. He's the firstborn among many brethren. Because when we believe on him, we become heirs of salvation. And Jesus is also our brother because we're saved through him. God became a man to die for us. You can't separate God from his word. Jesus is the spoken word of God, and he became flesh. When we believe on him and when we do his word, a healing process begins in our lives. Salvation, and through salvation, we get a brand new spirit. But as we take time and learn his word and act on it and do it, a healing process begins working with us as well. Our mind becomes renewed and we start building life. Just like a seed, the process of time becomes an oak tree or whatever kind of seed it is. When we take his living word and make it part of us, we receive it in our heart and we act on it in life. A healing process starts in us, and then everything we do becomes blessed. We've been talking about Joseph in Egypt when he first went. He was lied upon, thrown in jail. People did him wrong, but he did others right. He was forgotten, and he was also remembered. And the Lord got him out of jail and put him over the whole country, except for Pharaoh. Now, even in that, Joseph told his brother Pharaoh, "I'm like a father to Pharaoh." Pharaoh was the king, but he was Pharaoh's top advisor and the governor of all Egypt. Now, because the word of God is living in you, and if you're acting on it and you believe it and you reject the rudiments of this world, whatever you do will prosper. And as you endeavor to do these things, you're going to see your life repair from the inside out. And it will be amazing. And everybody that know you, they'll see you change. And when you meet people that used to know you the way you were before, when they come around, your conversation's different. And when they're around you long enough, they realize, hey, something's going on. He changed or she changed for the better. And just like Joseph, some people will be provoked. And some people will be, you'll be a blessing in their eyes. people can judge right and wrong because Adam ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So everybody know right and wrong. And God can relate to us through right and wrong. Everybody knows what's right and wrong. And little children learn what's right and wrong. So when you do what's right from the standpoint of God's word, you create a standard in the world. And the world will see it. And when they try to live up to it, they can't. But when they believe on Jesus Christ, they can. Now, we're still dealing with end times. In this segment of end times, we're dealing with the shell game. The enemy was trying to find who is the seed of woman. He wanted to stop God from being united with man. He didn't know what was going to happen. He knew it was going to be bad for him because Jesus said the seed of woman would bruise your head and you'll bruise his heel. And Lucifer knew what that meant. Satan knew what that meant. He meant that a man would defeat him. Now remember, he wanted to take over five classes of angels that was much greater than him and great in number. People have taught that he was the greatest angel in hell, but that's not true. He had to usurp himself over five classes of angel and then God. So he wanted to be over everything. And he didn't want to be defeated by man in front of heaven. He's getting defeated by man in front of all heaven. And he hates that. Now, he wanted to stop the seed of woman. He didn't know who it would be. He tried to outsmart. He tried to work against everybody he thought it was. And right now we're teaching about Joseph. He thought it was Joseph. So we started teaching this and the Lord had me to continue with Joseph. I was going to cut it short, but the Lord had me to continue. Now, last broadcast, we made it to verse 18. And they were in Egypt. You can go back and listen to this series on newlivingletters.com. And the broadcast before this one, you can catch up on all the broadcasts. They're on newlivingletters.com on the audio 2 page. I've got two audio pages. The broadcast for this year is on the audio 2 page. And you can catch up. Now, we made it to verse 18. So Joseph's brothers came to Egypt with Benjamin. Jacob didn't want Benjamin to go. But because of the famine, he had to go. So in verse 18, they found out that a silver cup was stolen. Was found in Benjamin's cup. It was supposed that it was stolen. But Joseph had his servant put it in Benjamin's bag. And they made a vow that whoever he found that cup in, they could be put to death or either be his servant. So now Joseph is going to take Benjamin as his servant. And his brothers don't know what Joseph is doing. So in verse 18, Judah promised Israel, which is Jacob, that he would bring Benjamin back. So verse 18 says, then Judah came near to him and said, oh, my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead. And he alone is left of his mother, and his father loves him. And you said to your servants, bring him down to me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said to my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou sayest to thy servant, except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall not see my face no more. And it came to pass when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go again and buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, ye know that my wife bare me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces. And I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die, and thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with us, with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? Lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father. Now, this is Judah speaking. And Judah is the line that Jesus Christ came through. See, the seed of woman was not Joseph, like Satan thought. And he didn't know who it was, but it was the line of Judah. Judah interceded. He made himself surety to the father for Benjamin. Just like Jesus laid his life down for us. He made himself surety that his brother would be back. He reunited with his father. And Jesus laid down his life, but Jesus shed his blood. See, our redemption blood had to be shed. He had to die for three, and he went to hell for 3.5 days. Three days and three nights. He was in hell. 3 days and three nights. And he got up out of the grave because there was no sin in him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Hell couldn't hold him. We got up with him. We believe on Jesus. We are made righteous. His blood washed our sins away. He was resurrected, so we'll be resurrected. Now, Judas made himself surety for Benjamin. Jesus made himself a savior to the whole world, everybody born. But until people believe on that, then they have no redemption. They're paying for their own sins. Somebody's got to pay for your sins. Either you do it or Jesus did it. Spiritual laws is not like our court systems. You cannot break God's rules like you can in man's dominion. If you got enough money, you can get out of jail. If you got enough money. That doesn't mean anything to the Lord. The only thing that's going to get you out of this situation is your faith in what Jesus already did for you. Okay, verse chapter 45. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am Joseph. Doeth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold to Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry for yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by the great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, or hurry up, and go up to my father, and say to him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, and tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near to me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, and yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household, and all that thou hast, come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, in the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth, that speaks to you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father here. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, Say to thy brethren, This do ye, lay your beast and go, and get into the land of Canaan, and take your father and your household, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat of the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all them he gave each man changes of clothes, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of clothes. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said to them, See ye, fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, and he said unto them, And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, It is enough, Joseph my son is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Now, when the Lord promotes you, which he will, promotion is in doing the word of God. As you believe God in your life, you're trusting God with your life when you obey his word. You know that? You're trusting God with your life when you're obeying his word. And through over time, the laws of sowing and reaping are still at work. And everywhere you go, you're representing the Lord. In all that you do, you start representing the Lord. And you're doing good to man. People are getting saved and healed and blessed. We can lay hands on people and we can get them healed. We can pray for people and God will honor our faith. And bless the people that need answers I pray for people's wisdom. I pray for people's future. I pray for people's lives. I rebuke the spirit of death so that they can live and not die. I've had good success in praying for people. Sometimes the Lord will give me words for people, personal things that they need to know. And he give me things for pastors. And in my ministry, he gave me the gift of prophetic utterance, a word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. So the Lord usually speak a word of knowledge to me and tell me what's going on. Then he'll have me to speak a word of wisdom to them. And I do that as the Lord leads. It's not something I can just personally turn on and off when I want to. When the prophets would say the word of the Lord came to me saying, and then the Lord would tell them whatever. They didn't even know to pray for that. And I don't either. For every broadcast, he'd give me what to say. Sometimes when I start the broadcast, the Lord just put in my heart what to say. I give the introduction and he just filled my mouth with his words. And he's talking to people. He knows who's going to be the audience the day that this airs and the day that people listen on the website on newlivingletters.com. And a work of God, I don't look at these teachings as Thurston's ministry. Because I don't know what people need. The Lord does. Remember, anybody that's anointed, the anointing is full of God's vision. It's without limit. It's timeless. If somebody listens to these broadcasts 100 to 200 years from now, it'll be a fresh word for whatever they're going through. Because the Holy Spirit knows everybody that's going to pay attention to these broadcasts. I have written words that the Lord gave me and in notebooks. And me and a pastor friend of mine was talking about something. I was trying to find something else. And we had just had a conversation. And in the notes, I found where I wrote many years prior that same conversation. Now, it's, you know, the word of God, the anointing is timeless. When he anoints a man to do something, he has God's ability. Only God can do stuff like that. But he's working through us. And remember, the work of God is one. It's headed by the Holy Spirit. That's why I always honor him. I want people to know where their help's coming from. The Lord has a plan to restore you. If you're hearing this broadcast and it's blessing you, that's the Lord trying to restore you and bless you and build you up and let you know things that you need to know. And with this section of end times, I want you to know the wiles of the devil, how he tries to stop you, how the importance of trusting God, doing his word, rejecting the world system. See, you can't live by God's principles and the world's principles at the same time. You're going to have to reject one and live by the other. In fact, you will reject one and you will cling to one. Now, Joseph was blessed. In chapter 40, 45 and 46, we see Joseph in a situation that's much greater. It's multiplied exponentially greater than when we first met him. When he was in Canaan land, looked down upon his brothers. But God saw something great in him. And God used him mightily because he would obey the word of God and the word of his father. See, sometimes when parents teach children God's word, they got to listen to their parents. Their parents are representing God. And if they apply the wisdom of God in their life, God can work with that person if they won't turn from it. Now, some people, they do other stuff. They start fiddling with the world, playing with the world somewhere. And God can't promote people like that. And he's not going to promote people like that. Even if good things happen to them, God can't use them for his purpose. Like he can a person that will obey him like Joseph. Now, Joseph, he wasn't contrary to God. But everybody he brought to Egypt to save them and protect them, he did it through outer measures. And many ministries have operated through outer measures. The Lord had to put things in place to get them to do something. But now he's doing something better. He wants people that will just do what he say because it's right. And there also were ministries that had integrity and they would do what's right because it's right. And many times they would limit God. You know, in their doctrine, they believe parts of God's word and they'll forget about parts of God's word. But the Lord is looking for people that will just take him at all of his word and endeavor to do all of his word and trust the Lord in their lives, trusting God with their lives to put all of God's word first, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And these are the people that he's going to do greater works with. These are the ones that he will use mightily. And it's going to be a great difference between, they'll be like Joseph's at the end when God promoted him, when others will be like him at the beginning, when he was put in jail, when he was missed. Some people never get out of jail. They never get past that stage. They love God. They endeavor to do God's work. And then the enemy try to mess them up, arrest them, aggravate them. And they spend the rest of their lives in a dogfight. And they never win because they don't take God and his word fully. Doing the will of God fully destroys the works of darkness, even when he's trying to keep you down. In Acts, Saul, Paul and Silas, they were in jail praising and worshiping God, and they defeated the devil in jail. But they didn't feel sorry for themselves. They didn't look for counseling. They just enjoyed the presence of God, even though they were in jail and because the world was jealous of them. They were shutting down the world system. Satan got mad and used crazy people to put them in jail. And they did a move of God anyway. And they were released anyway. Because you when you anoint it and you're doing God's work, there's nothing Satan can do about it. If you say something, promotion comes to those who trust God like that. And it's not just about the success, it's about what's right. When that's first, your life will be just like Joseph's life in its own content. And the Lord has great things in store. There's no need for you and your children and your family and your friends to miss out. If you follow God, think about it this way. When a man gets saved and he starts following God, he's not the only person affected because he's going to affect everybody he knows. People will see you obeying God. Women will still flirt. If you're a man, they'll still flirt and try to aggravate you. But you love God and you'll represent God in that situation. People will still try to aggravate you and bother you and be mean to you. And the Lord will, you'll love them and God will give you wisdom in every case. And you can win souls. It works. People will try to accuse you anyway, even though you do right. But it won't work. Because God will be with you. And then we have countermeasures. You can pray over your life. When you watch TV and you see those crime and investigative type stories and people getting in trouble, they're accused and you don't know whether they did it or didn't. That my friend, gives you the insight to pray over your life and take nothing for granted. When you have enemies, take them serious and pray for them and pray for yourself. Tell Satan, you can't use that. When people show you their dark side, tell Satan immediately, you cannot use that person against my life. And watch. When things are not going right, when people are mad at you, tell Satan immediately, you cannot use them against me in Jesus' name. All of your plan against me is dead, and it can't work in Jesus' name.